Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living. The center doors are open for you today here. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, and we're calling this this program an opportunity to really unpack what it means to live with or be a passive-aggressive person. And we'll define what that is in a moment, give some illustrations. I think many of us sort of intuitively know when we're around a person who's, let's face it, there's an emotional immaturity that occurs here and an unwillingness to just deal with life the way it is. And for Christians, boy, that can be compounded because we want to be nice people and not deal with stuff sometimes. And that's very passive aggressive as well. All right. If you know one, are one, join us, 888-1717.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and that's what we want us to be here. Life is so short, and for all sorts of reasons, many of us can fall into the trap of being passive-aggressive. And I would really define this, that instead of having an emotional response to something or something that you're concerned about and dealing with it in a mature, healthy kind of way, sometimes we allow it to smolder and become a fire on the inside. Maybe it's been an emotional wound or something else in your life, and it pops up in different ways. It could be through complaining, through criticism. It can pop up through avoiding behavior. Silence is a form of passive aggressiveness as well. I mean, just being silent. If I don't speak and I don't get involved, that's a power play. It's using your power, whatever it may be, to inflict some sort of hurt or pain on another person. And you may not want to hear that, but that's what it is. And in the process, it can hurt. You know, it can go all the way from criticism to, on one extreme, I suppose, or blaming, which we often do, to revenge, which, of course, is very destructive. An illustration of, and I think as Christians, here's an illustration within the Christian community. I think we can be really guilty of this. You know, we love God and we're supposed to get along with people and be nice people and all of the things that we teach that we know to be truth. And yet we can hide behind our Christian mask when it comes to this thing of being passive aggressive. Let's say you're unhappy with someone in the church, and instead of going to that person, as the Bible teaches, and dealing with that in some healthy fashion, you talk about him. Or you're not happy with the pastor, and you get on the prayer chain and pass that along. I love the prayer chain. You get on the prayer chain. that can be the modem of communication for the Christians, for passive-aggressive. Lots of ways we do this, and frankly, it destroys relationships. I can sit here and name, I won't, but I could. Relationships have been destroyed because we just don't deal with life and its reality and do that in a healthy way. We're supposed to do that. And so I just ask you, can you be honest about yourself? Are you a passive-aggressive type of person? Or are you married to someone or work in an environment where that's there? How do we handle that? We'll give you some thoughts here today from our Intentional Living Center. Very practical one things you can do to get intentional. Okay? Join us, 888-888-1717.
When my kids were younger and living at home, I would be angry at them a lot of times, and I didn't understand myself why. When I was getting mad at them was when I was hearing them laughing and having fun, and I guess my anger came from the fact that I wasn't having fun in life, and so I wound up being angry at them because they were. It took me quite a few years to figure out what that was all about, and at least I can say with when I'm interacting with my grandchildren now, I can do a whole lot better job.
Good for you. Appreciate it. Thank you for telling us your stories. You know, they continue to flow in here through online, through our storyline on the phone and through Twitter, and we thank you for sharing your stories. We get an opportunity to share them with others, and boy, that's a thrill. We get a real kick out of that, to hear your voice on the air telling your story. When we think about this thing of passive-aggressive behavior, I like what Monica Frank says, a PhD, talking about passive-aggressive behavior. And Monica says it's important to identify what's the reward. One of the things we teach about life is there's a payoff. there's a purpose behind misbehavior. In our parenting classes, we talk about the purposes of misbehavior. We talk about power and we talk about attention getting and so on. If you can determine what is the person achieving or trying to achieve by engaging in this behavior, do they get something that they want? Do they make you feel bad? Do they discharge their anger on you so they can feel better? Do they escalate conflict so they can make you look bad? What is it? These are some of the things that Monica asks you to think about. And I think that's a good series of questions. Can you identify the reward? And think about it personally, not so much another person. When you practice the passive-aggressive kinds of behaviors, why? What's the reward? What's the payoff? Is it control? Is it to pick a fight? What is it? And then the second thing that Monica says, and I think she's right on, she says, refuse to provide the reward. If someone doesn't give you the reward for your passive-aggressive behavior, you may try to escalate it for a while, but if they just don't bite, it's like a fish that doesn't bite, they may have to go to another kind of bait. And being passive-aggressive isn't going to work, on you at least. Okay, let's see what you all think. Ron is on the line in Arizona. What's your question today, Ron?
I must admit, I must be one of them passive-aggressive people, and I think I married another one. Yeah. And I know the fights and arguments that we get in, sometimes they go way off topic, and it seems like it just piles up and piles up and piles up until one of us or both of us blows.
Yeah.
And then once they blow, it's like a dynamite explosion.
And what has this led to? How are you guys doing today?
What's it led to?
Yeah, I mean, now, how's your state of your relationship?
I'm driving around looking for a lawyer because I've finally gotten a response from her after being out of the house almost 3 weeks that this is what it seems like we're heading for. It's not what I want. I asked her to go to the church and talk to the pastor with me a couple times. She said we've had counseling before. And we have. We've had single counseling. We've had couples counseling about 7 years ago, and it's all flustered all up again, and now it's gone to the new level.
I'm sorry. You know, and I think that often happens, Ron, in many disagreements or dealing with an issue that it gets buried. Someone made the statement, when you bury your emotions, you bury them alive. And I think that's a really good word picture. It's not like you can bury an emotion and it dies. It's still there. And some of us, let's face it, if I were to mention the name of a person to some of you listening today, an ex-spouse, an employee or a boss or a pastor or neighbor, it would evoke a lot of emotion. It would come back even years later. And now in some cases you have no interaction with that person, but other cases you live with them every day. And so instead of dealing with some of the core issues and being, as a couple, mature and dealing with it, it shows up, explodes, and then sometimes it gets to where you are at this point. Ron, listen, we're going to pray for you. Here's my suggestion, encouragement for you guys. If you get with your wife and say, honey, listen, the fact is that we can work this out. We love each other. We want the best. And I know I've blown it in the past, and I'm not asking you to make promises that I'm going to change and change, but can we sit down together and see if we can get someone to help us communicate and be honest with each other and deal with the issues honestly with each other, get them on the table, and come up with a better way of doing this. She may not agree. It may be too late. I don't know. But we're certainly going to pray to that end.
Yeah, because I'm just searching for his will now. I spoke to the grandmother, and I asked, I told her, I said, if this is what it's going to be, that's what it's going to be. I'm going to take it as my mission's over. I've gotten her involved with the church. I got her involved with a circle of people that she wants to grow friends from, and I don't want to destroy any of that. But the things that sparked this so many years ago and all the trials that we've gone through is what has brought us to this point. I mean, we were just pew covers until I started this cross thing. And then it's evolved to where she's into the choir and everything now, and that's something that she would have never even considered, even a possibility.
But see,
years ago.
But see, Ron, I think the we can live together and not be together, and I think what passive aggressive does is it keeps a wall between intimacy. It's a wall between intimacy in marriage, Now, you can work with somebody who's passive-aggressive and just kind of, well, I got to live with it, and or a neighbor and live with it. But when you're living with it, it's something that's got to be dealt with, because if you don't, over time, it's going to bite you. We'll be praying for you, Ron. We're going to add you to the prayer list, and God bless you. Appreciate the call.
If you've got a minute, I'll give you three ways to stand your ground against bullies at work.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Do you have some people in your organization that create a scene and bully others? Well, those are called the controllers. Controllers bulldoze and intimidate others. They pepper you with questions, and they enjoy making others feel uncomfortable. So don't make excuses to them, and don't try to battle with them. Instead, to negotiate with a controller, stand your ground. Be assertive and confident, but not aggressive. Let controllers know you heard them. And give them options when possible so they can decide on a next course of action. Oh, and if you're like me and you can be a little bossy when things get done, remember, people who have been run over are much less likely to help contribute to your success. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
That's really good. Thank you, Linda. Linda Swindling offering some good stuff. I'll tell you, you can't listen to a half hour of Intentional Living without getting some stuff that can change your life. And we pack a lot in here, and we hope you're applying some of this for your life. Certainly, I'm learning as well. Let's continue on. Carla is in Michigan today. Welcome to our center today, Carla.
Hi.
I appreciate your call.
I'm so glad to talk to you. I never thought of this issue as passive-aggressive, but I think that is what's going on.
Ah, what's going on?
Well, my 13-year-old, they go to a small school, and there's four girls that would be friends. And what's happening is, and I know this isn't common among girls, but I don't know how to coach her on this. I was not this kind of kid at all, and my husband and I don't know what to do. There's four girls, and it seems like between my daughter and one other girl, every once in a while, they're deciding that you're not one of us, and then completely exclude her from things, and you know, like they're on the same team, and then it's like, okay, so I'm supposed to just do things by myself. And again, it's a small school, so, you know, during recess, she'll try to walk over by them because normally they're friends, and they just walk away. And what's very hurtful is the fact that, you know, for the first, you know, 9 years of her life, the one girl who would be the popular one that everyone wants to be friends with, they were best friends. They were, you know, close. And then there's another girl that's come on the scene, and she's more the best friend now. And she's, my daughter's had to work through that. And I've seen her show an ugly side of how, well, if she's going to take her away from me and not share as a friend, yeah, I'm going to do that. So we've kind of worked through that, and she's accepted the fact that, you know, she won't be the best friend anymore, but we don't know what to tell her to do with this.
Well, I think a couple things. As you know, teenagers and middle schoolers in particular, I mean, and the girls, let's not, you know, guys too, but girls, they can get pretty catty, and this kind of game playing can go on and clicks. It happens with guys as well. And, you know, I'm your best friend and I'm not your best friend. And when I'm with these folks, I behave in a certain way. And when I'm not, I behave in another way. And in a sense, that is passive aggressive. You know, it's just part of the maturing process. I think a couple of things I would encourage you to sit down and with your daughter, Carla, and talk about what is a friendship, and define what does that mean? Is a person really a good friend or worth being a friend if they behave in certain ways? And I think talk about how she feels about that with you. And also, can she get any insight into why she thinks her friends would behave that way toward her? In other words, instead of personalizing, I'm a bad person and so on, get outside of herself and say, why do you think your friends would do that? I mean, for them, what's going on? Why do you think they would do that? To help them gain some insight. I know for a teenager, that can be difficult at times, but they need it. I think a third thing, and maybe the most important thing, is the principle of divide and conquer. I think when we try to get into these relationships that are three or four kids, and then you're in the inside, and then you're in the outside, if she can get one-on-one with a true friend, someone that she can spend time with, you find that when you're one-on-one with a person, they're more genuine. Who they really are comes out, and the game playing doesn't occur that happens with cliques and groups. And so establishing that kind of healthy relationship with just one or two individually, playing on the home turf where you can have them at your home and that kind of thing, where you can observe their interactions, would be healthy. But I think making sure that your daughter realizes it's not her, it's not her fault, she's not doing something if these kids are behaving passive-aggressive toward her. And if she can gain some insight, I think it's a first step in growing up and realizing people are like that, not only as teenagers, but as adults.
You can still call 1-888-888-1717. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
75% of all business owners work in a family business. If you need balance between your family business and your family, then reserve May 28th through the 29th at the Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix for the Thrive Conference for Families in Business. Join Dr. Randy Carlson and an expert guest faculty for an exciting lineup of keynote and breakout sessions that'll help get your family business to the next level. The Thrive Conference from the Intentional Living Center. Go to familybusinessconference.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Want to be more intentional about your faith, finances, or health? Then join the Intentional One Thing Challenge at theintentionallife.com. Dr. Randy?
All right, thank you, and welcome back here to Intentional Living Center. You heard during the break that we have a very special, very unique conference coming up for families in business. You may be the owner, you may be a family member, but come as a family. It's going to be very Christian-based, but very practical in terms of relationships, and it's going to have financial discussions and all of that. And we're excited to have one of our presenters being John Solheim, who is the CEO and chairman of the Ping Corporation, you know the Ping Golf Clubs, and a great man of God. And he's going to be sharing. I'll be teaching. I'm going to be doing some workshops and things, and we got some wonderful teachers coming along. So anyway, we're going to have the information up for you here right now. We're just getting the website completed. So just, you know, sort of hold the dates coming up in May. It's going to be good. All right, let's get back to calls on passive aggressiveness here. Carol's on the line in Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Randy.
Appreciate your call. How do you relate to passive aggressiveness, huh?
Oh, my gosh. When I heard your topic today, I actually literally laughed out loud.
Why is that?
Because I'm the poster child of passive aggressive.
And how does it show up? What do you do?
Pardon me?
What do you do? I mean, how would I see it? How does it play out for you?
I find myself getting very quiet, almost shutting down. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, my head starts thinking about all these things that I should have done or could have said or what could I have done different. But I find myself now in a very safe place. In a relationship where I'm overcoming that.
Good. Good. So you didn't feel safe doing that before, but now you're in a place where instead of just burying it or going quiet, you can start to bring some thoughts out and feelings and expectations and so on.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what I mean by, you know, in a safe, I feel safe in a relationship where, I'm not bullied back. You know, I'm not yelled at. I'm not criticized. And it's allowing me to overcome that wall that I would put up.
So when you had criticism before, was that what would really back you down and you'd become more passive-aggressive?
Yes, exactly.
And what would you do? Was it primarily through just going silent and withdrawing?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think you did that for? What was the payoff for you doing that?
I probably told myself where I felt that I was safe. It was comfortable for me to maybe just escape what was going on and not confronting it.
Yeah. Well, you know, in some situations, we talk about safe. There are some situations, you know, it's not safe. you know, and obviously you got to use good wisdom. But when we talk about normal relationships, we need to have, like you say, be an environment where you do feel safe, safe emotionally to be able to talk and share. And I know some of you say, well, I don't, you know, I don't feel that. If I bring something up, I'm like walking on eggshells. If I'm just honest and share what I'm feeling, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to get another mature response back. And so obviously you're dealing with another person who they themselves may be very passive aggressive or unwilling to communicate. But if you can understand your own behavior, why you say what you say and do what you do, and put together a plan that's going to be healthy in confronting issues, that's going to be much better for you. Okay, appreciate it. Thank you, Kara. I want to get Jessica on here from Texas right now. Welcome to the program, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. What's your question?
Well, I guess I'm trying to figure out if I'm the passive-aggressive one or if he is. Point being, every conversation turns into a screaming match. Like I said, everyone has a past, and the only one that has a right to judge us on it, forgive us on it, or anything would be God. And I think, honestly, my point of view, we can't sit and talk about anything because my past becomes the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes me going on defense mode, going, well, that's irrelevant to what we're speaking about now. I've been in a 3-year relationship now. The majority of it has been okay. We go to church together. We pray together. But lately, within the last 6 months, he's been pulling away. And I try to approach him on it, and he starts yelling.
Right.
So at that time, I'm now, within the last 6 months, withdrawing from the whole world.
I'm sorry.
I go to work. I come home. I go straight in my bedroom, and that's where I stay.
Yeah.
Until it's time to shower, of course, and then start on my next day. You know, and it's become routine.
Well, I'm sorry.
So that makes me the one...
Well, I think when we talk about being passive-aggressive, Jessica, you guys are beyond that in terms of not being able to just resolve disagreements, not being able to communicate. What is the core of this? Is there something else been going on? Has there been an affair? Is there some crisis? Has there been substance abuse?
Actually,
is there anything
yes.
else going on?
I took the freedom of going through his phone. Ladies, I don't encourage this, but yes. I was told at one time that if you look, you find. Well, I looked, and there were certain text messages that were sent to certain females, and when I approached him about it, and that's really what caused the problem, this happened about 3 months ago, and then again on New Year's, I decided, for some reason, his alarm kept going off at 5 o'clock in the morning. I decided to reach over there and turn it off. Well, I noticed he had a missed message. So being that he owns his own company, I took the advantage of going through his phone to see if it was important to, you know, wake him up. This was about 7 o'clock. Well, he found out that I went through his phone, and there was a text message on there that was to a woman. I won't say her name,
yeah,
but
please.
The message was, Happy New Year's, my love.
Well, Jessica, let me jump
when
in.
When on New Year's, I didn't even get a hug.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for you guys. I'm telling you, Jessica, when we think of our marriages and we think of the relationship, they're to be built on trust and they're to be built on honesty and maturity and communication. And when that doesn't happen, passive-aggressive behavior can occur. In your case, you got some real issues. I mean, there's some things that have to be addressed. We're talking about issues of, are we committed to this marriage? Is there faithfulness in this marriage? Are there other things going on? Hiding or withdrawing ultimately is not going to make a difference, not going to help. What would be best for the two of you would be to have an honest time, maybe with your pastor or a Christian counselor, where you can sit down and just say, where are we? Where is our marriage? What are our priorities? Are we in this marriage or not? You know, I'm a very strong advocate. God's design, one man, one woman, committed for a lifetime. You put anything else in there, too much work, too many hobbies, other people, and pretty soon we can have an affair, quote-unquote, with lots of things other than having that kind of intimacy in our marriage, which God intended. And ultimately, that should be our priority. We're going to be praying for you, Jessica. I'm so sorry that you guys are struggling with that. We'll put you on our prayer ministry here.
The fact that the same Bible that we love and cherish appears to be saying two different things to us. On one hand, it's saying to us, it is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is not of works, lest you should boast. And then James comes along here, and he says, now wait a minute, what can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you truly have a saving faith, and it's not evidenced in how you live your life, what difference does that kind of faith make? That's what he's saying.
You know, members, you received that teaching on CD within the last week or so. I'd like your feedback. What did you learn from that? Did you share it with someone? Is there a question that you have you'd like to have me address on the air or in a future teaching? All of our members receive a teaching from me, two members, monthly members, every month. And I'd love to hear your feedback. I've asked Dawn from our development team to step in here. Dawn, it's the end of the month. I want to thank our members.
Yes, definitely.
For helping us do this, to help us make sure we can stay on. But we need to close out this month strong. We're a little bit behind where we need to be.
We do. We finished, we finished 2014 behind. We're starting 2015 behind. So we need your help today. If you are being ministered to by Intentional Living, or you just want to give back to the ministry that's pouring into your life, I invite you to give a gift today to help us close out the month, as Dr. Randy said. Easy to do. You can go online at theintentionallife.com. or give us a call at 888-888-1717. And when you do, when you make your gift today, make sure and ask for our devotional day starter. Mm-hmm. We're going to be offering that for just a couple days more this month. And so you can receive that with our thanks for your gift.
And by the way, the day starter, it's you might refer to it as a flip calendar. You know how you put it on your desk and it flips over every day. But the beauty of it is you can go through this year and then use it again next year, because it's not day specific, it's date specific. But what we've done here, and Dawn, under your leadership, just taking a topic for every day that's very practical, something that'll make a difference in someone's life, and then apply a scripture to it, and then a challenge.
Yeah, one thing.
For one thing. For instance, today is staying positive against the odds. So when things are down, staying positive. That's today's reminder, with scripture and a one thing challenge. So we'll get that to you, but you got to ask for it. And we're only going to do this for today, I think tomorrow, this week. That's it.
Right.
So thank you for helping us close out the month. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. Upcoming programs. Do you feel like you're walking in the dark sometimes, just like you've been blindsided? Well, we've got some help for you. And also, Grandparents' Day coming up as well. We'll see you next time.